What a gospel. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Every aspect of the salvation of God, the gospel of God, is comprehended in the phrase, in Jesus Christ. There's no part of the gospel of God that is not in that phrase, in Jesus Christ. Now, this is not hype. This is not overkill. This is not over the top. This is fact. Now, I've entitled this message, The Three Most Important Words, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ and union with Christ are the precise same thing. It's what baptism depicts in that beautiful, simple ordinance the Lord gives us, where we say in that ordinance, when Christ lived, I lived. When he died and was buried, I died and was buried. And when he was raised up, I was raised up because I was in him. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom. Not with whom, but in whom. I am well pleased. Now, this is not a teaching peculiar to the New Testament. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 24. Surely shall one say, and I'm saying it right now, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So we see this is not a concept peculiar to the New Testament, but this is the message of the Old Testament as well. Look back in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, did you know that Eve didn't come along till the last of chapter 2? But yet God says, male and female created he them. You see, Eve was in Adam, when Adam was created. And God speaks of Eve as having been created because she was in Adam. When Adam ate of the fruit, that's when the fall took place, not when Eve ate of the fruit, because God said to Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. When Eve ate, the death didn't take place because she was not the one God said. There's so many examples of this in the Old Testament. What about the ark? Inside the ark, safety. Outside the ark, did anybody make it? No, all flesh was destroyed. I love to think of Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. And yet Hebrews 7 tells us that when Abraham paid those tithes, Levi paid his tithes as well. It doesn't say Abraham's tithe paying was accounted to Levi. It says Levi paid tithes. When Abraham paid tithes, Levi did as well because Levi was in Abraham. What about the house with the blood over the door? In the house, was everybody safe if they were in the house? They were absolutely and completely safe and secure. Outside of the house, every one of the firstborn were put to death. Safety was found in the cities of refuge, and there was no safety without it. And I love this. There in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we looked at this in Bible study a couple of weeks ago. David had hit the bottom. All of his family had been taken, and the family of all of his men had been kidnapped, and they spake of stoning him. They were so upset. He hadn't shown any leadership. Let's just get rid of this man. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, there is always, always encouragement in the Lord. Now, in Christ, this is the single greatest desire of my heart. God knows whether this is so. I'm telling you that, and I believe it. The greatest desire that I have is that I might be found in Christ, so that all God sees when He sees me is His blessed Son. Now, is that your desire? Is that what you want above all things? Really, that is. That's what I want above all things. Simply to be found in Christ so that all God sees is His blessed Son. Now, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. I want you to listen to these. You can jot them down if you want. But in Christ, there's justification. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. If I'm in Christ, that means right now I am justified before the holy law of God. I don't have any guilt. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "For in Christ, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." If I'm in Christ, I am never going to have to be condemned or punished or held accountable for my personal sins. We read in Romans 8:39 that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You see, all of God's love is in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, I have all of God's love, and nothing can separate me from that love. Now, you see why it's so important to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:2 of being sanctified in Christ. And language means something, the way it's written. And that is actually, in the original, in the perfect passive tense. That means I'm perfectly sanctified in a way that I can't be any more sanctified. And the fact that it's in the passive tense, I was acted on. This is not something I did to achieve this. I was acted on by the grace of God. Sanctified. Declared by God Himself to be completely holy. I can't get any more holy. Can't get any more lovely to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, if I'm in Christ, I'm wise to God. I'm fit for fellowship with God. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm completely delivered in Christ Jesus. Then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, in Adam, all die. Even so, in the precise same manner, in Christ shall all be made alive. I have life in Christ Jesus, life before God. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we read, all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. You know what that means? There's no, I'll do this if you do that. No, I'll do this on the condition that you do that. No, it's, I'll do this and you shall do that. How do you like promises like that? All the promises of God in Him. Every single one of them or yea and amen. There's no such thing as a conditional promise in that sense. They're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, I realize that religious people use that, saying, well, I'm new. I don't have those same sinful desires, and I don't have those same sinful propensities. Don't believe it for a second. Don't believe it. You're lying. It's not so. What that's talking about is, in Christ, I've got a new history. I've got a new standing before the law. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. The law doesn't condemn me anymore. It says he's perfect. He's without. I've got a new relationship, grace, in Christ. You're a new creation. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:19, we read that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he's committed to us this word of reconciliation. Now, beloved, those things are things that are historical. What do I mean by that? It means they're actually done and it's over. History. When our Lord said in John 19:30, it is finished, it was finished. My sins were not imputed to me. I was reconciled to God by Christ. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11:3 speaks of the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus, the singularity, the singleness, the onlyness of Christ. Now, listen real carefully. I don't want you to miss this. The simplicity of Christ. That means you can't have him and have something along with him. Now, do you hear that? You can't have him and have anything else. And if you have anything else, you don't have him. You've been corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, in having nothing but him, you have everything. And if you have everything but him, you have nothing. That is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul was talking about his experience of being brought up into the third heavens and Christ teaching him the gospel. When he talks about himself, he uses this language. And this is how he identified himself. He said, I knew a man in Christ. That's the only way he'd think of himself in that light. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, out of the body, I can't tell. God knows how he's caught up into the third heaven. But this is how he identified himself. I knew a man in Christ. He wouldn't dare think of that experience without thinking about being in Christ. Ephesians 1, everybody's familiar with that, all the in Christ in that chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing we have in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. You know, election, what's election without Christ? It's meaningless. Some kind of arbitrary choice where God decides to save one? No, I've never been viewed independently of Jesus Christ. According as he has chosen us in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We're accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 2:6, we read that we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:13, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We read in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Now, think of that. What would this boldness and access with confidence be if it wasn't in him? In whom? We have this boldness to enter into God's presence, confidence, access into the very presence of God, and I'm welcome. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul spoke of the consolation or the comfort in Christ. And then in Philippians 3, he spoke of the rejoicing in Christ, and there the word rejoicing means we're happy in Christ. Aren't you happy to be in Christ? Would you want to be anywhere else? And then he speaks of the rejoicing or the glorying in Christ, actually boasting in Christ. He is my righteousness before God. I glory in him. Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now, was I exaggerating at all when I talked about these being the most important words and explaining or giving meaning to every doctrine of the Scripture in Christ? Colossians 1:21, we were reconciled to God in the body of His flesh. That's in Christ. We were reconciled to God in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Now, I don't feel complete. I feel like there's all kinds of things missing with me. But I believe I am complete because the Bible tells me I am. You know, I got closure. I got closure here. I'm complete. I need nothing else. You are complete in Him. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us, and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus. That's why He gave them to us. He didn't give me these things to me because I asked for them, or because I was worthy, or because of anything in me. He gave them to me before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where all of God's purpose and grace is. 1 John 3:3 says, Everyone that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 and 6 says, In Him is no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. If I'm in Him, I have no sin. And if I abide in Him, I don't sin. I don't sin. That's the perfection I have in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, John says, And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that's true and that we're in Him that's true. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, that's a lot of Scripture on in Christ, isn't it? A lot of Scripture. And every one of them are glorious. Every one of them deserve a separate sermon. And the last one I want to give you, and then I want to make a few comments about the rest of this passage of Scripture, is this verse in John chapter 16, verse 33, when the Lord said, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. That's the only place there is peace. In the world, you'll have trouble, tribulation, anguish, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ. There are no more important three words in all the Word of God than that. And that's why Paul said, Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now, back to our text in Galatians chapter 6, or Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, neither one of these things avail anything at all with God. Now, the word availeth means has power or force or strength or ability or pull. Circumcision, and we've seen this over the last few weeks, represents salvation by works. That's all it represents. Salvation dependent upon what you do. If you believe any aspect of your salvation in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. In the beginning, an act of your will. In the middle, some work you perform that makes you more holy, more pleasing to God. In the end, you're rewarded a higher reward because of your works. If you put circumcision anywhere in salvation, Christ will profit you nothing. You see, circumcision doesn't avail anything with God. Look back at verse 2 of Galatians chapter 5. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You can forget Christ, for I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Here's what you put yourself in a position when you're circumcised. You've got to keep the law perfectly on your own, and that's something you can't do. Verse 5, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit of God, wait for the hope of righteousness. Remember, a hope's something that you can't see. If you can see it, it's not a hope. Now, I can't see. I can't look at myself and say, yeah, you're righteous. I got all kinds of sins I'm thinking about right now that makes me know, am I really? Yes, I am. Here's my hope. That I'm waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. Faith is the evidence. For, and verse 6 is just an amplification of verse 5, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, does somebody say, I know circumcision has no power. I understand that. I understand that you can't be saved by your works. I understand that man doesn't have a free will. I see that teaching in the Bible. I see that men are dead in sins. I believe all that stuff. I believe the doctrines of grace. I believe total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of saints. I believe those things. And I wouldn't go to a church where that's not preached. And the church I go to, they preach that. And I believe that. And I stand for that. I don't believe in circumcision. You know what that avails with God? Nothing. Nothing. In Christ Jesus, circumcision avails nothing, and uncircumcision avails nothing. It has no power with God at all. You see, what I believe is not what gives me peace. Notice again, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything. I've been circumcised. I've done this. I've done that. That has no power with God. Nor does uncircumcision. Well, I know you can't be saved by your works. That has no power with God either. Here's what has power with God. Faith. Faith. Which works by love. There's only one singular thing that avails with God, faith. That is all God responds to. You see, He gives the faith. He gives you the grace to exercise the faith. And He responds to that faith that He's given you as your own faith. And faith only avails with God. It has power with God. Now, one day during the Lord's earthly ministry, there was a crowd around Him. Everybody was pressing Him, wanting to touch Him. And He kept moving, He kept moving, He kept moving. Crowd, touch Him. All of a sudden, He stopped and He said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Lord, the crowd's thronging you and pressing upon you, and sayest thou, who touched me?" He said, "Somebody touched me." Now there's all kinds of people who touched Him. They were putting their hands on Him, trying to, but there was one who touched Him with faith. It was a woman who had an issue of blood, some kind of menstrual disease, and she said to herself, I mean, she'd gone to many physicians and she'd been nothing better, but rather worse. And then she said to herself, somehow she knew who Christ was. Christ revealed Himself. And she said, "If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole." And she was on her hands and knees going through the crowd. She touched Him, and the Scripture says she felt immediately in her body that she was made whole. And the Lord looked around. He knew who touched Him. He knew who touched Him. He knew exactly who she was. And then she came and told Him all the truth. And He said, "Woman, go thy way. Thy faith hath saved thee." Now, what was her faith? She believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be perfectly whole. Do you believe that? Do you believe if you come into contact with him, if he causes you to come in contact with him, you'll be made perfectly whole? You see, the only thing that availed with him was the touch of faith. Faith is faith in a person. It believes in his ability. She believed that the ability of Christ was such that if she just touched him, she'd be made perfectly whole. And he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now turn to Matthew chapter 9. Here's another beautiful illustration. Verse 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. And the only way they could follow him is by hearing his voice. They couldn't see him. Crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Now let me tell you three things about these blind fellas. Number one, they were plumb blind. They couldn't see a thing. Number two, they knew that Christ was the Son of David. They knew he was the Messiah. And they knew that mercy was in his hands. He could give it or withhold it as it pleased him. Now, they knew that. They knew they were blind. They couldn't see. They knew he was the Son of David. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you? That's what it is to believe he's the Son of David. Same thing. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Take that, beloved. What a blessed promise. They believed he was the Son of David, and they believed mercy was utterly and completely in his hands. That's why they said, "Have mercy on us." They believed it was his sovereign prerogative to have mercy or to not have mercy. They understood that. Now, do you understand that? Do you believe those three things? Do you believe that by nature you're blind as a bat? You can't even see who God is. You can't see who yourself are. You can't see yourself. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you believe mercy is in his hand for him to give to you if he's pleased to do it. You believe that? Well, let's go on reading. "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them," this simple, succinct question, "believe ye that I am able to do this?" Now, beloved, this is the stuff of saving faith. It's simply believing in his ability. Doesn't have anything to do with you. It's believing his ability to save you. "I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him." He's able. He's able. "Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able. He was able also to perform." The Lord asked these fellows this very simple question. And I'm asking you this question, and I'm asking myself this question. "Do you believe," he said, "that I am able to do this?" Now, beloved, that question can be answered with a yes or with a no. There's no in between. You either believe he's able or you don't. Do you believe he is able to save you? You know what they answered? "Yea, Lord." "Yea, Lord." And look at his answer. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." Well, what was their faith? Well, they believed they were blind. They believed he was the Son of David, the Christ. They believed sovereign mercy was in his hands. He could give it to them if he wanted. And they believed he was able to do this. That, my dear friends, quite simply, is saving faith. Nothing less, nothing more. Let's don't overcomplicate this. That is saving faith. Back to our text. For in Jesus Christ, Galatians 5, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. And note this, it's a specific faith, faith which worketh by love. Now, the only kind of faith there is that's real faith is a faith that works by love. Now, what's that mean? The devils have a type of faith. You know that. James said, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. They knew that Christ was Lord. They didn't love the fact that he was Lord, but they knew he was Lord. They knew he was the Christ. Now, did they love it? No, they didn't. Were they happy about it? No, they weren't. But they knew. They believed, and they trembled. Now, Christ never said to any of these people, your love has saved you. He said, your faith has saved you. And you know, everyone who looks to Christ only as everything in their salvation, they just can't help but love him. It comes as natural, as spontaneous, as breathing. If you believe that he's able to save you, and you look to him only, you will love his person. Faith works by love. Now, everybody who has faith loves the object of their faith. Can you believe on Christ and not love him? Absolutely not. It is impossible. Now, quit thinking about your love. Think about him. Think about how he's everything in salvation. And your love is going to flow out. You start thinking about your love, you start wondering if you have any. But when you start thinking about him, looking to him only, you will love him. Faith worketh by love. Faith works. It's a powerful, active thing. And the Bible uses Abraham's faith to illustrate this in James chapter 2. But you'll remember, I think it was last week or the week before last, somebody's reading out of Genesis 22. I can't remember who it was. But Abraham said in verse 5, God had already told him to kill his son. And he said to the fellows that were with him, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return to you. Now, he wasn't covering up that he was going to kill him. He really believed, according to Hebrews 11, that God would raise him from the dead. He believed that because God had promised the Messiah is going to come through this boy. And he believed God, and he proved it when he raised up the knife to kill his son. If he would refuse to do that, because every one of us had thought, could I ever do that? Could I ever render such obedience? If he would have refused to do that, all he would have proven by that is he didn't really believe God was going to have the Messiah come through his son. He said, I'll mess this up and it won't happen then. If I kill him, so I'm not going to kill him. All he would prove by that is he didn't believe God. But he believed God. And it was demonstrated by him lifting up the knife toward his son. Now, faith does not work by fear of punishment. Faith does not work by hope for reward. Those things are in the realm of the unbeliever. Faith works by love. You can't believe on Christ and not love him. It's impossible. And you can't love him and not want to please him. It's impossible. We, John said, love him because he first loved us. in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for that glorious place in thy Son. And Lord, let us, everybody in this room, say from the very depth of their heart, in the Beloved accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high. God sees my Savior, then he sees me, in the Beloved accepted and free. Lord, what freedom, what liberty, what joy, what rest there is in him to know that everything that you require of us, everything we have in the Beloved. We give thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We got Dwayne?